here's a story from The World.
The crisis in Myanmar is only getting worse. 2 months after a military coup there, Myanmar is barely functioning. Army troops and police are growing more violent. They've now killed more than 580 civilians, many of them protesters who are demanding the military turn power back to the duly elected lawmakers overthrown in February. Other people killed were just innocent bystanders. As for the lawmakers, the ones that protesters in Myanmar say should be running the country, most of them are in detention, although some of them are on the run. They're trying to run a parallel government from secret locations. The World Southeast Asia correspondent Patrick Nguyen has been in touch with one man who's emerging as the face of this parliament in hiding. His name is Dr. Sasa. He goes just by that one name. Patrick, who is Dr. Sasa?
Dr. Sasa, his official title is he's the UN envoy for this parallel government. And this guy has had a really fascinating life. He was born in a remote mountain village that didn't keep records, so he actually doesn't know his birthday. He thinks he's about 40. And from those very humble beginnings, he managed to become a medical doctor. And then last November, he runs for parliament and wins, and he's preparing to join the cabinet under Aung San Suu Kyi, the top elected leader of the country, and then the coup happens. So that's his background.
And why is he becoming such a prominent figure now?
Because Aung San Suu Kyi is locked up, he is able to speak where she can't. And he's representing this protest movement in a really big way. And he's trying to represent all the people who got elected but can't speak because they're detained. And he's really popular among the protesters, Marco, I think in part because he has some pretty bold ideas, like trying to raise a resistance force, a new army to fight the military and restore democracy. I spoke to him in an interview where I reached him in his undisclosed location.
All right, very good. Let's hear your conversation.
Dr. Sasa, thanks for speaking to me. Take us back to the day of the coup, February 1. You were ready to start work that day as an elected member of parliament. What happened next?
As we wake up the morning of 1st of February, our phone was dead and our internet all dead. All we saw was the military surrounding our building. And so I was told by the top presidential team to escape as soon as possible so that I can speak out for the people of Myanmar and elected member of parliament. It was tough. The journey was between life and death. And it took me 3 days and three nights to reach to a little bit safer locations.
Can you say what country you are in right now, or would you rather not say?
I cannot say about my locations or anything like that. Just I hope that's understandable because of my security.
Your parallel government, you're making really big decisions like repealing the constitution to start over and get the army out of politics. But how do your politicians even talk to each other or vote on things? Aren't they locked up or under surveillance?
So our member of parliament who were elected by the people of Myanmar are on the hiding on the run. But their act of terrorism will not deter our determinations. So we have developed all means of communications. And I cannot tell all that communication channel that we had.
Where is Aung San Suu Kyi exactly? Is she even fully aware of what's happening on the street?
We don't know where they kept her. We don't know if she's safe or we don't know if she's okay. Only they allow one time for her lawyer to meet her on the video. So there's no way that she will know of what's going on the ground. She's not given any information.
The army has most of the guns in your country, as you know. That's part of the problem. But indigenous peoples have their own smaller armies in Myanmar, more than a dozen groups, mostly in the hills, and some are damn good fighters. What would you like them to do right now?
All these ethnic armed organizations, they are there as a freedom fighter. We should not forget. So we will be forming Federal Army. The Federal Army will replace and reform this military institution, which now become terrorist organization.
So you're hoping that many of the 500,000 soldiers in the Central Army will defect and join this new army?
We have got a strategy for all those 500,000 men and women in uniform to join Federal Army, not again joining these killers anymore.
I have to ask, you know, the Rohingya Muslims in your country, no one has had it worse than them. They've been killed, pushed out of the country by the army. In your vision of a future Myanmar, are they included?
It will include everyone. No one will be left behind. Our policy is equality and no one left behind. So there's no way for anyone, again, targeting our brother, sister, Rohingya. We'll never allow that happen again.
Dr. Sasa, is Myanmar a failed state?
It's coming. I mean, it is coming. If international community failed to stop this killing, of course, this movement will continue no matter what, because everyone in my country know that they have no future with these military generals.
I've spoken to a lot of protesters inside Myanmar. They're pretty tough-minded, I have to say, but a lot of them do feel like they're losing hope. What gives you hope?
Our unity is our hope. I have never seen our people be so united like this before. Our peaceful movement is very powerful. It's unbeatable.
Dr. Sasa, in your best guess, how does this nightmare end?
We are asking international community to facilitate the reconciliation scenario. If military generals stop the killing of people and give back the power to elected officers and come to negotiation table, this is just common sense for us. It's just a possibility that we can sit down and talk about this.
The World's Patrick Nguyen there in conversation with one of Myanmar's lawmakers in exile. Patrick, Dr. Sasa comes across as a really powerful voice for the protest movement. I'm wondering, is there a silent section of the public that supports the military, or is it really just the army generals alone with their guns?
By and large, most of the population in Myanmar is livid over what the military has done. I think it's safe to say that. However, the military plays such a powerful role in the society. They're an institution unto their own schools and hospitals and training facilities. And so that means you do have a lot of families who are reliant on the military for their livelihood. And so those families need the military to persist because that's how they get by.
Dr. Sasa asked for help from the international community. How much support from outside Myanmar are the protesters there getting right now?
Well, they're getting a lot of, you know, hearts and minds style support. I think there's a lot of people around the world that find the protesters very brave. As far as any outside government, such as the United States, recognizing this parliament in exile, we're not quite there yet. They're still setting up everything and trying to put it all together. So that's a lot of what Dr. Sasa is currently doing from his hiding place, get this government in a shape that it can present itself to the world.
So he's described as the UN envoy for this parallel government. Does that suggest the UN is playing already an active role in facilitating something, some kind of reconciliation?
I wouldn't say that the UN is playing a strong role in setting up reconciliation, because it really all comes down to the UN Security Council. Two very prominent members are China and Russia. China and Russia are both selling weapons to and rooting for the success of the military. And so because of the role of China, Russia, and a few other countries around Southeast Asia, so far it doesn't look like the UN is going to step in and foster that reconciliation anytime soon.
And what about the U.S., Patrick? How is the Biden administration responding to events in Myanmar?
It's quite possible that eventually the Biden administration will accept this parliament in exile as the legitimate government. So far, the most important thing they're doing is not recognizing the military as the legitimate government. So the U.S. has ratcheted up sanctions really focused on the military regime. They have not yet decided to do overall sanctions against the entire economy, which they did for quite a few years through the 90s and early 2000s.
The World Southeast Asia correspondent Patrick Nguyen, thanks very much for this.
Thanks, Marco.